Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. It's the building He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Our text this morning comes from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 22 through 35. And I invite you to follow along in your Bibles if you brought them. If not, there's some in the pew racks in front of you. As I read that scripture, James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do as what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. May God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. I came across this scripture in a daily devotional some weeks ago, and I thought about how we look at ourselves. And how we look at ourselves always determines how far we go in life and how far in life's journey we take God with us. If we are to be the persons that God wants us to be, we must have a clear vision of who we are and what aspects of our life we need to change. I think it's obvious to state that each of us looks at life in a different way. We view ourselves differently than others. And the reflections we see are of the persons we believe ourselves to be. The fact is, our very opinions, our thought processes, and our characters are determined by the reflections we see of ourselves. Of course, none of us is able to see ourselves as we should. And unfortunately, there are some of us who do not see much at all. These persons are not looking into a good mirror. They're not looking into the perfect mirror, the perfect law found in God's Word. So it is impossible for them to see the character flaws they have and how much they need to change. Now, some view themselves as if looking in a tiny mirror. You women probably know more about this than the men. It's like looking in a compact mirror. You need to move your face around to see different parts of it. These people we can recognize because they have such narrow-minded views. The vision of who they really are is limited by their own prejudices and their own opinions. They have no full view of who they are at all. As I said, in order to look in these tiny mirrors, you need to move your face from side to side and up and down and look at, and we look tend to look at only those spots which concern us the most. If we feel like there's a spot here, then we'll look at that one spot. If there's a blemish we cannot see, why bother to correct it? We only correct those we see. We cover them up and try to make ourselves as presentable, as good-looking as possible. You know, we could use a bigger or a better mirror, but we are completely convinced and satisfied that we're okay the way we are. We've covered up pretty good, and what we see makes us believe that everything is fine. But there are some aspects regarding our lives which we are glad we cannot see, and then there are other aspects that we refuse to cover up, that we refuse to see, that we refuse to try to change and correct. Therefore, we refuse to look at them in the mirror. Those flaws we refuse to change become sin to us. And they keep us from becoming the image of Christ that we must be if we are to be children of God. Some of us look at our lives through mirrors which distort the truth. Those of you my age, and maybe some of the young people, remember at the fairs and carnival where they would have the house of mirrors, and they would have mirrors in there that would make you look taller, shorter, thinner, or fatter than you really are. You know what I mean. You've seen those. All of us have seen people at church who thought themselves taller than they really were. They've placed themselves on a pedestal and looked down on those of us who are not perfect like they are. The holier-than-thou type people. And obviously there were such persons in the early church, and Paul must have known them because he wrote in Romans 12:3, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." There's some of us who looked in the warped mirror and see ourselves shorter than we are in real life. And those of us who use this mirror believe that we could never be anything great or do anything great for the Lord. To these persons, every silver lining has a dark cloud. They lack faith, and this is evident because they don't believe God can change things. They don't believe God can change people. They don't believe God can make a difference in a problem in their life. They have listened to the lies of Satan, which call them failures and paralyze them with fear. We need to stop looking in these warped mirrors and see ourselves the way God sees us. We were created in God's images. How can we fail? Because God does not fail. And there are others of us who looked in a warped mirror and see ourselves much thinner than we are. Satan has us believing we could never serve as a spiritual giant. We think about our lack of faith and every little fault we have and the failures we have. And thinking about failures and faults is not a bad thing as long as it does not consume us and convince us that we can never overcome these deficiencies. Such is not the picture that Jesus wants us to see of ourselves. Quite often this point of view comes because we are not eating enough spiritual food. We feed on the junk food of television and DVDs, and we read books with no meat in them, and our spirits become malnourished and weak. We need to look into the perfect mirror of the Bible and gain some spiritual protein and power from the words contained therein. There are still others who look in the mirror that makes them appear much bigger than they are. They're the big shots at the church. They give the impression that they are a member of an elite group that has a hotline straight to the Lord. And they talk about the faith that they have that can move mountains, but no one ever sees evidence of such faith. These people talk the talk, but they do not walk the walk. Their commitment to attending church and being in the house of God is often very lacking. Of course, they cover their conduct by saying, well, I pray a lot at home. I watch the evangelist on the television every time I turn the TV on. I turn on the radio in my car and I listen to the pastors every day as I'm driving down the road. Don't claim you're a spiritual giant if you do not attend God's host regularly. Some of us see ourselves through a mirror that's like a convex or fisheye lens. We have a very small view of our standing with the Lord. Everything and everybody around us takes precedent. We feel so insignificant and unnecessary. Then there are those who look in the concave mirror and all they see is what is right in the center, and that is self. And self is magnified many times beyond what it should be. Everything these people do is to gratify the desires of self. If they wish to sleep in, they just stay in bed. If they're feeling bad, they go to bed. They don't go to work. If they want to go hunting and fishing, attend a ball game or a race, or engage in any activity rather than being in God's house during the service, that takes precedent. That takes priority because it's all about self. Gratification of self. Only self is important. And then there are those who have a really warped view of themselves. The mirror into which they look is so out of whack, it's ridiculous. And yet Satan has them so deceived that they believe his lies. They believe that no one is right except them when it comes to the interpretation of the Bible. Nobody goes to heaven except members of their denomination. No other church is preaching the truth except the church they attend. No one else can measure up to the perfect standards by which they live. And last but not least are those who look into the mirror and see themselves and everything as positive. They only want to see the good in themselves and others. And this occurs all the time. Have you ever been to a funeral of a person who was lost? And yet the pastor gets up and tells you what a wonderful Christian person they were and how good they were. And you look at the casket and you think, am I at the right funeral? Too often we distort reality. We want to look at these people and see the good that they could or should have been. We want to look at them in a positive light. We don't want to face reality. We don't know that this person was a bad father, a bad husband, or cheated on his income taxes, stole from the place of work. We want to see good in people all the time. So we continue to look in the wrong mirror, the mirror that tells us everything is great, we are great, and everybody else is great. We need to look in the perfect mirror to see the persons we really are. And the only perfect mirror is God's holy word, the Bible. The perfect mirror is not found in the Book of Mormon. It's not found in the Quran. It is God's image to which we must conform. And how can we conform to His image if we do not study His word and learn the characteristics that He possessed as set forth therein, so that we can emulate Him. We can walk as much as humanly possible as a child of God, imitating Him. And finally, there are those who are constantly looking in different mirrors in which they behold their images. They are wishy-washy Christians who are always switching between serving the Lord and living for the devil. Their image is constantly changing. It changes so much that they don't even know who they are. It just depends on which mirror they're looking into at the time. James tells us in our text how to look into the mirror and compare ourselves only to Jesus. We must look into the perfect law of liberty. What he is saying is the perfect word of God frees us from sin. It gives us liberty from the sin. It keeps us from being enslaved by sin. And we must look in that and have a well-balanced and perfect view of who we are in view of Jesus himself. And only a perfect mirror can give us that image. Only the Bible can teach us how we must look in order to be called a child of God and to be viewed by others as a follower of Jesus. When we compare ourselves with the perfect image, it's easy to see our flaws. And if you look into the mirror, don't worry if the view you see is not what it should be. The Holy Spirit, the blood of Christ, and God's Word in your life will give you the power to transform into the image of Jesus. But you must make sure you're looking into the right mirror, not one that skews the view, but one which reflects what you need to do to be like Jesus and tells you the flaws that you have so that you can work to overcome them. I hope you're looking into the right mirror today, God's Word. And if you are, praise the Lord, you know what you need to do, and you're doing it. If you haven't been doing that, and you know that the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart and wants you to look in that perfect mirror, they want you to study God's Word and to know the failures you have so that you can correct them, we invite you to come, to give your life to Christ. Does it mean that you're not going to ever have another fault when you look in God's Word and read about God's, about Jesus' characteristics? No. But you know that you will have God's Holy Spirit and the blood of Christ to help you live up to the image that's put forth in that perfect mirror, His Word.